Hi, everybody. Nice to see you again. This is Richard, your host on Lost Arts Radio, and hope you're having a good beginning to the Labor Day weekend. If you're in the U.S., if you're in other parts of the world, I hope everything's going well for you. Hope you can all hear me okay. I try to adjust the mic a little bit. For those of you who are new, this is kind of a news show, but it's a little bit unusual. We've only got this little brief period, 1 hour per week, when we get together and look at what's happening in the world in general, and especially in the week that's just ending. If you want to get into more detail, which I do recommend because I think it's a good idea to stay in touch with what's going on around you strategically, not to get sucked into it, to get, you know, completely upset, which you can easily do if you understand what's happening. But just to make better decisions in your life or for yourself, or to realize the importance of the time that we're living in. And for that, you know, one thing I have to tell you before I get into that, and that is that this is becoming a real balancing act in the show, because the idea is full disclosure of what we're talking about, get into it with complete openness and honesty, and just in this few minutes that we have together every week, just let you know perspective on everything that's happening. But at the same time, as you're aware, hopefully you're aware, there's a major campaign underway to make it impossible to do what I just said. In other words, to censor what people are saying. And they don't have enough, the people who are doing this don't really have enough humans to do that in person on every little show like ours. But they do have AI, and it's quite far advanced at this point, and it looks for catchphrases and words. And even if you are of the viewpoint that they want you to have, if you mention the wrong words, they can just make you disappear right in the middle of your show. And that has happened to people. And it's happened by mistake even to people that were agreeing with the power structure and being totally politically correct, but they mentioned the wrong word and boom, they were gone. So I don't want us to be gone any sooner than we have to be. You know, I'm not sure how long we can hold it together. So if you want to know where we are in case we're not here 1 week, just go to lostartsradio.com, and the most reliable place that you'll probably see us is real.video, which is Mike Adams' new site that's supposed to replace some of the highly censored mainstream sites. But for the moment, we're still here. So if I don't use real direct language in talking about some things, you got to pay attention, and then you'll understand what I'm talking about. So what I was just now saying is that if you want to keep up with the news in the world and in the country, especially in the U.S., but in other places too, really amazing comprehensive broadcast, and there are many of those, but the one that's way out in front of the rest, I think, is run by a man that's almost totally censored now, because the government agrees he's really good, and they don't want you to hear him, because what they're about to do in the world, they would appreciate it if you don't understand what it is they're doing, who's doing it, what the meaning of it is, what the implications are. So I think AI is pretty advanced right now, but it's poor on sarcasm and rhyming words and stuff like that. So I'm sorry if it seems silly, but I'd rather still be here for a little while because we got some things to tell you. So this show that we still recommend is done by a man whose first name rhymes with Balex, and his last name rhymes with Bones. And you can probably figure out, if you're watching this show, who that is. And if you need help figuring out where to go, just look at lostartsradio.com. And his show is that one. First part of the word is info, and then after that they use the word wars, and then dot and com and forward slash and the word SHOW. Now, if AI is smart enough to put all that together, I'm really impressed. I'm guessing they're not quite yet, but I don't know. So that's a comprehensive news show. What I'm talking about here is distilling the whole thing down to a few minutes. We just have 1 hour every week, and letting you know maybe a perspective that you haven't heard before of what it's about, or maybe you have, which is fine if you're informed. This is about not one political party against the other or anything like that, although that's the superficial show that's going on in the U.S. anyway, and in a lot of other places too. This is about consciousness versus hypnosis, hypnotic programming. And the idea of the power structure is that you will fall into this programming and just accept and go right along with whatever they plan to do to us, which is generally not friendly. And you can figure that out if your eyes are open and you're looking at what's going on in the world this week, but pretty much, you know, almost every week. And it's what they hope will be the end game of a program that has been going on with complete coordination for thousands of years. Now, I've traced it back at least 4 initially, and then 15,000, and then it's probably a lot more than that. So they have a lot riding on this intergenerational programs that have been going on for a long time under different names, and they figure that they should be able to wrap it up now because the coordination is so great and the technology to go with it is probably 100 years ahead of what we're told exists, that they think there should be no problem. And they're the people in those higher levels of the program are very confident, arrogant, disdainful that anybody should think that they wouldn't make their goal happen soon. And that's the mindset. And they're looking at the population as something to just get out of the way, not only human, but the rest of life on the planet. I'm not going to get too far into that, because as I said, this is a public show and we want to stay on the air for a while. But when you take it that bigger picture down to what's happening during the week, all the elements of what is happening can be put together in a coherent plan. This is why you're not supposed to believe in conspiracies, because the reality is so far beyond what you think of as a conspiracy that, you know, even the conspiracy theory people are usually wrong. It's way deeper than most of them can imagine. Almost complete. And all of these big global corporations are in full cooperation. The ones running the major media are all cooperating completely. The reason they're cooperating is not because they're so good at getting along. It's because they all take orders from the same place. And they only looked like their adversaries. And the same with the major media channels. They're adversaries on one level, but on a higher level, they're just divisions of the same big company, you might say. So this week, if you look at stories that were covered in the news, one of the big ones that stands out is the week-long celebration of the death of, or the accomplishments of, Senator John McCain, who was a military guy that got shot down and put in a prison camp in Vietnam for a while and went through torture and things like that, but did some other things that were kind of questionable and made a lot of people not think very highly of him. And then he got into government eventually as a senator, and the power structure really was against him, and the Democratic Party, that is a party allied with the power structure at the moment completely and trying to work 100% for their goals, they didn't like him. He was in opposition to Obama, and they were running as adversaries. But later on, when Senator McCain took the position of being against the current president, whose name I believe is a catchword for AI to be looking for right now, so we'll try not to be mentioning that if we can, then the media and the power structure, the orders were given to really worship Senator McCain. And I think that is the explanation for his week-long celebration of how incredible of a person he was after he died. I think he was 81 years old and died of brain cancer. Every one of us, the good people and the bad people, the ones who appear like that, at the very depths of it are all the same. But the programming that a person gets wrapped up determines the part in this play that they're going to be portraying. And McCain was definitely working for the benefit of the global power structure. And so naturally all the media is given the instructions to make him as close to saint as possible. and talking about naming some important buildings in Washington, D.C. after him and all kinds of stuff like that. But he was really promoting war and promoting war in Syria against Assad, who has never attacked the United States, as far as I know, and was just trying to fight Al-Qaeda. And so under different names, Al-Qaeda under all kinds of names like ISIS and ISIL and stuff like that. And so McCain went to support the terrorists against the government of Assad. And that was not really a very positive thing to do. And he was really working against the U.S. interest. He said Rand Paul was working for Vladimir Putin when he was actually doing some really good things. And so, you know, he was a little bit off track there. But this plays a part. It's just a clue that the reason the power structure and most of the Democratic Party and the people working for the overthrow of the current elected government, the president and the people around him now, and they're supporting McCain, it just shows you that the media is completely in collusion working for this overall agenda, which is overthrow the current structure and bringing America back on track to total devastation, destruction, and the removal of the last place that has some memory of freedom that was actually written into the basic documents of the country, even though it wasn't lived up to so far. It still could be. And I think that's too much of a threat to the power structure to leave intact. So before the current CEO of this corporation called America was elected, America was really on the track to being totally destroyed. Orders had been given to leave the borders wide open, welcome in terrorist cells and drug dealers and all kinds of, you know, whoever wanted to come, and they just give them a free bus pass anywhere in the country to go on welfare right away. That's kind of like national suicide, but it wasn't stupidity, it was intentional. And that's what the last president was fully involved in. Totally criminal and unconstitutional, but that's what was going on. And when the new one came in, he's been trying to stop it, but there's been a circle of advisors and lawyers and other cabinet people and parts of the Department of Justice and all these different people in government that have been trying to stop him from undermining the program of destruction for America. Because if they could get rid of America as the last place where people were at least trying to bring back freedom for everybody, not just certain groups, then if they could get rid of that, then the rest of the world would fall more easily, and everybody would fall into the idea that you had to have world government in order to save you from social chaos. It seemed like a pretty coherent plan, and it's still the plan. And the problem is they need to get rid of certain people, notably the main guy in office right now, in order to get back on that plan. So that's the struggle. And it's part of this struggle between consciousness and hypnotic programming that we're right in the middle of, and this major epic adventure is unfolding. And part of the job of the media is to make sure that nobody even knows it's going on, and that if they do know it's going on, they completely misunderstand the characters and demonize anybody who's working for an honest chance to get back to freedom and prosperity and things like that. So last time, which if you remember, in 2 years ago, there was an election in this country. And this is not just of interest to Americans. This really affects the whole rest of the world in many ways. So the people who know that are in other countries are watching it very carefully. And in 2016, from what we could tell from the numbers of people who showed up at rallies and speeches that the different candidates were making, the current president that got elected probably won the popular vote, my guess is by maybe 4-1, really embarrassing landslide for the other side. But there was so much fraud and hacking by internal parts of the government, which was caught. And Balak's that we mentioned before, it said that 5 states were stolen, I think. That's conservative, at least that, and all the others were attempted. But it was such an overwhelming landslide that the person just barely won. And so people who don't know what was really behind it say, oh, well, he didn't really win the popular vote. No, that's not true. the popular vote was such an incredible landslide. They just barely managed to hack and destroy enough of it so that you couldn't see that. And then blame the win that did happen on the only other major foreign country nuclear power that was really extending the hand of peace and could change the balance of world power to in a positive direction, which was Russia. They had to be demonized along with the current president that just got elected, because both of them represented the same spirit of actually trying to do something good. And Russia had to be demonized because they had done amazing good stuff that you don't hear about if you look at the regular news. I mean, they did things like trying to get Wi-Fi out of all the schools, which is really important. Wi-Fi is a weaponized microwave frequency that is very harmful to humans and other life forms. It's not just Wi-Fi. It's all these microwave convenience devices, from cell phones to smart meters to the big facilities like NEXRAD stations and certainly HARP facilities, but also the Wi-Fi that you use for your computer or your tablet or devices, excuse me, that you're not even supposed to know could be plugged in. Those are intentionally really harmful. You know, this collusion that I'm talking about is not just for an election. It's also to give you the wonders of toxic healthcare, which kills in America more than 1 million people a year. There was a great article that, if you want to look up the statistics on stuff like this, there was an article called Death by Medicine. And it was written by Gary Null and Carolyn Dean. You can easily find it on the internet. And conservatively, it was saying that medicine in America, which really does some wonderful things, saving people from traumatic stress and accidents, car crashes and stuff like that, putting them back together. It's good at the mechanics of that stuff. But as far as health and disease go, which is kind of important in a healthcare system, it's a disaster at that. And it's one of the major factors, along with the food industry and the fluoride in the water and the chemtrail spray and all that, that's keeping people horrifically sick. All these degenerative diseases on epidemic proportions all over the world. And in the U.S. especially, where the drug companies are in charge more than in a lot of places, the mortality rate, infant mortality rate, and all these other statistics are really bad. And you're not supposed to know about any of that. So part of the job of the mainstream media, which they're doing a wonderful job of right now, is to make you think that the things that are bad for you are actually good for you, and the things that are good for you are going to kill you. And you can use that as guidance, as we've said before, as long as you remember to translate, which usually just means reversing whatever it is the authority figure tells you. Not always. You have to be careful of that, because they can tell the truth by mistake sometime or for other nefarious reasons. But generally, I totally trust government authority, because if you know the translation factor, you can really use that for a lot of valuable guidance. So, you know, the senator that just died was promoting war and aggressive behavior toward Russia and toward Iran and certainly toward the leader of Syria, which was Assad, and suggesting, along with the Democratic candidate for president in 2016, and also most of the Republican ones, all wanted war with Russia. It was really obvious. You know, when they say stuff like that, don't assume that they're just too dumb to understand, well, war is not a really good idea. They understand that, okay? They're just getting well paid and probably blackmailed too to make sure they say the right things. And so they were all following along, but not the person who got elected. He wasn't doing that. He was saying, well, you know, actually cooperation and peace would probably be better than getting into world war and nuclear war. And the Russian military forces were invited into Syria. And most of the Republican and Democrat candidates in 2016 were saying, well, we should shoot down the Russian jets. Wait a minute. They were invited into Syria, and U.S. forces were not. So what's wrong with that picture, right? And then the president well, actually, even the current president, whose motives I think are really good, was completely fooled and hoodwinked into a horrible criminal action, which was to shoot missiles into the country of Syria on the grounds that there was a chemical attack, which was done by the president of that country against his own people. That was nonsense. The president, his objective was not to get his country invaded by everybody by using chemical weapons. He's not that kind of an idiot. And that chemical attack that the current president responded to didn't happen. It was water. And the kids who were victims of it went public with their parents, really irritating and embarrassing to the news media and to others. And they said, oh, yeah, they offered us candy and they poured water over our heads and told us to lie on the ground and flap our arms and legs around. It was really pretty fun. And we got all this candy. It was great. They really don't want kids to do that when they're trying to make them into fake chemical attack victims. And the current president fell for it. And that was, you know, unconscionable, in my opinion. But I don't think it was because he was being evil. It's because he was trusting advisors, military advisors, these really fancy generals and things who say something with the right tone of voice. And he thinks, wow, well, you're a general. I'm just president. So you must know what you're talking about. Yeah, they were traitors. And they were telling him things that would lead into the overall program of destruction. So I think he's learning about that now, and he's starting to get more and more outspoken. And so the power structure and the media, the Democratic Party, the corrupt parts of the Republican Party, they're all after him much more intensively than they have been. And it's a race right now that we're seeing to get rid of him before he exposes too much more. Like everybody connected with the top level of the previous administration was pretty much all major criminals, guilty of stuff that's wide out in the open now, and there's enough public evidence to send them all to prison for an extremely long time. They really don't want to go to prison, so they're trying to get rid of the current president. They figure he and a few people around him are the only ones not susceptible to blackmail and threats and bribery and saying, we'll kill your family, the usual stuff, you know, that they do in politics. So last time they didn't have enough really forced to control the landslide of votes for the current president. And so he still won, much to their total devastation. And you saw all their mindless followers out in the street just actually screaming at the sky, which was kind of funny because the Democratic candidate, when she lost, well, before she lost, when she was in the debate, and the candidate who won was saying, well, if I lose, I would want to make sure it's legitimate and count the votes and everything, recount if necessary. And the Democratic candidate said, whoa, he's questioning the whole American democracy. And, you know, this is terrible. You know, he should be eliminated just for that. And then when she lost, she said, well, it's completely unfair on all of their followers. So what I was saying is that last time, and I really apologize if you don't have a picture, I feel bad about that, but our time's half over already, so I'll keep going. So the idea was that it wasn't enough last time, and this time they want to make sure that that doesn't happen again. So they realize the power of social media, and not just the you know, the talk platforms, Facebook and stuff like that, but also search engines like Google, of course. And if you, for example, search a certain candidate's name and up comes all this negative stuff about them, about him or her, then, you know, you can believe how much that would affect people. I mean, people see a sign on the street with somebody's name that they never heard of. And if they see enough of those signs, believe it or not, they tend to vote for them. So the electorate, the people who are casting the votes, have some waking up to do, to put it politely. But so the search engine can do that and much more. And they've done studies in other countries. I don't remember if it was in India. I think it was. But they showed that search engine results were capable of changing the majority of the votes in a given election. So somebody told me recently that if you put in the name of the current not the name of the current president. If you put in to Google the word idiot, I-D-I-O-T, and you type that in and hit enter, you get a picture of the current president. Not that it's biased or anything. And I couldn't believe it, and I tried it, and it was true. I mean, there were a couple of other pictures, too, but his picture was right there. And that's what they've been doing. And they figure, nobody's going to stop us. And they had a circle around the president. By the way, I'm not explaining all this stuff because I'm a Republican. I'm not a Republican. Both parties are criminal organizations, as far as I'm concerned. And I don't see any benefit in parties to begin with, which some of the founders of America brought up the same point, by the way. But in this particular case, what's happening is that there's this massive collusion, all trying to get a certain result in the November election, and they want to get a majority in the House of Representatives, one of the two houses of Congress, and in that one, they indict a president for various crimes and misdemeanors, I think the language is, and that's like an indictment, an accusation. And then it goes to the Senate to decide whether to convict him or not. But what it would do, even though the Senate probably will not be won by the same people, it would basically take away so much credibility and give the corporate news media so much to work on that the programs of the current president, like trying to seal the borders, which is really critical for a country's survival, and other things that he's working on, massive improvement in the economy, although the central bank is in collusion with the social media and the other people, and they may try to crash the economy before the election and blame it on the current president. And most of the public doesn't understand how central banking works, and they would probably fall for it and say, yeah, he was a fraud, and we thought it was really a recovery, but he did all these stupid things. And the news media will fill in the details and show, yes, he did all these terrible things to make it look like the economy was recovering, but it's not really, and this is the proof of it. That's the kind of strategy they go through. And so they're planning on doing something like that, and then also planning toward false flag activities. They really like school shootings because those show that the current president is insane because he supports the amendment that's second on the list in the Bill of Rights, which anybody who understands history does do that, because any totally tyrannical 100% repressive regime that wants to come in and murder most of its own people, which has happened in many countries, they always take away the firearms first. It's not some kind of a hype or misunderstanding or something like that. It's absolutely true. And you don't want that to happen. And so the founders of America, one of the only countries that recognized the right of every citizen, women, men, everybody, to defend themselves with lethal force if they had no choice. America was one of the only countries that recognized that right. But they said, very importantly, that the right did not come from the Constitution or the Bill of Rights or the Declaration of Independence or anything like that. In fact, the Declaration of Independence was what said that your rights come from God. Whether you believe in God or not, doesn't matter. You still get them when you're born or before you're born. And that's really important. And it doesn't mean America is better than anywhere else. Everybody has this amazing nature underneath the personality level. But those rights, the point of the Declaration of Independence saying that was people everywhere in the world have all the same rights. It doesn't matter if their government acknowledges them or not. The only thing is that if your government acknowledges those rights, then you're likely to have a lot better life. And when the government starts taking them away, then it's not so good. And the Second Amendment was put in there not for hunting, although people were allowed to go hunting, but that had nothing to do with the purpose of it at all. It was at that time the best thing they knew to be a deterrent against government tyranny. That was the whole purpose. And secondarily, a side effect benefit was that you could defend yourself, defend your life, or convince a violent criminal just not to attack you. because you had the means to defend yourself. And they considered that critically important. And if that right were recognized in other countries, like in places like the UK, where the violent crime rate in London now is off the chart and just way out of control. If that was there, the violent crime wouldn't pay, as they used to say on the old Dragnet movies and Dick Tracy and everything, but it really wouldn't. And people would find safer professions instead of that. Same thing in Scandinavia, where these waves of so-called migrants or immigrants, they're not immigrants, they're illegal invaders coming and just raping and killing women especially. That would be over in about one day if they had the equivalent of our Second Amendment and they had training and arming of those women, and they would not be victims anymore. And strangely enough, the feminist movement never gets around to mentioning that. But I think, you know, women should be able to defend themselves, and this nonsense of them being victims everywhere would be totally over, and men too. So anyway, this is just examples of the contest that's going on now between consciousness and programmed sleep, basically, and moving towards this upcoming election, which is something like, I don't know, 67 days. I think 66, maybe, if I remember right, from now until the November election. This is really important. And the banned newscaster that I told you about, that I think is really courageous and good, said this is probably the most important election. Well, he was saying in U.S. history. I was saying in world history. And then he said, well, you know, I think it's probably in world history. And he's saying that now. And yeah, he's totally banned, but you can still find his broadcast in the way that I told you, and you'll see links to it on lostartsradio.com, because there are these lesser known platforms that don't ban everybody, that his show is still available on 6 days a week. And that's how I still am able to review it. And the people running those lower platforms and channels and things are doing great service to all of us. So anyway, this time you're not supposed to have any idea what's going on. All of these big social media giants are working together to shadow ban or ban people completely. And they're not just inclusion with the social media giants. They're inclusion with so many other global corporations, which tells you these are not really totally separate corporations. These are parts of a giant, like, spider thing that's been set up meticulously over a long time to help implement the destruction of life on this planet. And you have an example of that by the people that shut down this newscaster. The company that he does his financial transactions on to survive by selling health food things and other stuff, survival things on his website store, that financial processor said, well, we're going to have to stop doing business with you because of hate speech. And because also you beat up children, by the way, and you hate women and you're a racist, and none of which has any truth to it whatsoever. I've followed his work for 20 years, and that's not at all true. It's not true of the current president either, by the way, and it's totally made up. But as some famous dictators have said, if you make up a big enough lie and you say it over and over and over and over again indefinitely, eventually, because it's so ridiculous, everybody just starts to believe it, because they're emotionally not capable of realizing that there could be that degree of deception, but it's going on. So another example where consciousness is really necessary to get any of this set right. And now with the idea of the big lie told over and over enough so that it gets believed, this newscaster that I told you about, there was an incident, I think it was in the Midwest somewhere of the U.S., and this guy was being just beat up by this crazy 10 or 12-year-old kid, hitting him in the face and everything, and he pushes the kid away, and the kid falls down on the ground and starts screaming, you're going to jail, you're going to jail. The kid really needs help, right? So what did the media do? They took this guy, that scene, they blurred out his face and said, that was the newscaster. He went up there and did that. He beats up kids. I mean, they're going to really extreme lengths right now. Lots of stuff like that. So these other corporations, the processor of the payments, the people that do the comments, big comment company that works on the websites, all these different companies that do banking and different things, they all told him, well, because of your hate speech and that you're a racist too, obviously, we have to stop doing business with you. And there are people within connected with the Congress and the media and things that are saying, that's not good enough. We have to ban this person from ever being able to get on the internet for anything. They kicked him off LinkedIn for business connections. They did all these stuff, basically depersoning him. And that's the same thing that's happening as a beta test case in the U.S. as they're doing on a big scale in China right now. You know, Chinese people are great, I think, as people of just about any country are fantastic. But the rulers, positions of power often, most of the time, attract people with the worst motives. And in China, they're particularly vicious. And we've had shows on Lost Arts Radio and live streams explaining that in some detail. But right now, they're partnered with the biggest search engine company in the world. And the agreement is to come up with a national censorship system that would be deciding what the Chinese people were allowed to look up on the internet as a beta test, and then they could give that to the U.S. So you won't be able to find anything either. That's what they're working on. And they figure, finally, we got the way to eliminate dissent, which is their biggest nightmare, right? You don't want anybody disagreeing with what you're doing while you're trying to do the whole destroy the world ply, right? So one thing is don't give them any information. You know, they're really sorry that they gave public access to the internet. It was one of the famous senators, I think it was maybe Jay Rockefeller, saying that we really never should have given the public access to the internet. And I think he was making a valid point because they can find out what's going on, which is very irritating to the people trying to complete the agendas, Agenda 21 and all these things. So they're working on a censorship engine, which should be the solution to that from their point of view. And they're trying it out in China now. And they're giving people also what's called a social credit score. And you've probably heard about this, but it's developing right now. And it's starting to be applied in real subtle ways in the U.S. But basically, the search engines and the other surveillance software looks over everybody's interactions. They try to get all of our interactions via the internet so they can all be surveilled. I mean, now they probably have surveillance technology that can monitor all your face-to-face communication as well, but at least your online communications. And they look at that and they decide, well, this person's really going along with government and the authority figures and what they're taught in fake education and entertainment and all this stuff. They're really a good citizen. We're going to give them a 4 or 5 star rating, and they can have all kinds of special privileges. For example, they can have a bank account, they can drive their car, they can get a job, they can fly in an airplane. But if they are off track and they complain about government or they complain about what, you know, social media companies or other corporations are doing, collusion of different kinds, fake news, big corporate fake news media, stuff like that, they just can't have as many stars. It wouldn't be fair to the people who are doing such a good job. So those people can't go on airplanes and trains and public transportation, and they probably can't get a loan for their house and other things like that. So, and this is happening now in China. There was an article that they had something like 10 or 12 million people were denied transportation tickets because of their inadequate social credit score, and they're wanting to bring this to America. So the media and all these corporations are working together to get that to happen, and the current president is up there aware of some of it now, because the circle around him that was meant to keep all this information away has been breached, I think 2 to 3 weeks ago. And some of the reports from reliable sources on what's actually happening are reaching him, which is super exciting good news. And he's aware of some of it, and you can tell he started to make statements in his speeches now about the censorship and the major media, and I don't want to mention their names unless I have to, is saying the president is delusional, and here's the president's latest conspiracy theory that search engines are biased, and it's all completely crazy, and it shows he's incompetent. I mean, they're going way off the extreme end to just completely lie about it, everything important, and hope that you have no way to check it. And that's the strategy, just go for broke, basically. Criticizing anything to do with nationalism and promoting globalism instead. And, you know, I have friends that don't like nationalism, that really feel that we shouldn't have any borders. Michael Jackson, whom I'm very close to, wrote some beautiful songs, one or more, about just, you know, not having borders and countries. And John Lennon did the same thing. I agree with that, but not yet. Because if you try to implement that now, when you have some countries where the whole culture, maybe even the religion of the country, is that everybody who doesn't agree with them has to be murdered or enslaved or both, or one or the other, I guess. That's not good to have no borders when you have any countries like that. You have very bad results, and you have your nation dying, and you lose your culture. And especially if your nation is set up with the idea of freedom, which, you know, we're pretty far from right now, but at least there's a memory of it in America and some places. If you let that be wide open to people whose stated goal is to destroy you, it's not strategically a brilliant move. It doesn't mean that you don't believe in eventually a one world of harmony and peace and cooperation, mutual respect and love and all that. But it's like these people that recently took a bike ride into, I think, what was it, Tajikistan, somewhere like that, a place where ISIS and Islam was in control, at least of certain parts of it. And they said, look, all this racism and xenophobia and all that is just crazy. Everybody's really kind and nice. People are good. And a group of Islamic ISIS members saw them riding their bikes on the road and just swerved over and ran over them and a bunch of other people and bragged about it and made videos later. So, you know, you don't want to have to find out that way. If you just, and the news media is trying to make it impossible for you to find out at all, because to criticize that kind of terrorist activity, and I would use a better word for it, but I don't want to get kicked off instantly for doing that. It's a religious word that's more accurate. It starts with a J, in case you know what I'm talking about. To not be aware of that is not helpful. It doesn't bring in peace and love. It brings in suicide. So the point is to keep seeing people underneath the programming that they're subject to at the moment, realizing that the basic essence of everybody is the same, and it's all beauty and harmony and love. But take the programming that people are subject to seriously and respect it, because it determines the current behavior. So the president that we have right now has some awareness of that and is trying to implement that in his policies. That is completely unacceptable to the globalists who want one world under tyranny, living in fear, in the name of saving the earth and having global harmony and peace. So you have to not be fooled by language. I think that's really important. Other things that he's doing that are great are renegotiating trade deals. Like, for example, now with Mexico, it looks like there's a deal that's going to be mutually beneficial implemented right away, instead of the old NAFTA deal that was implemented to destroy the economy of America. And it really worked well for that. It was Ross Perot who originally said, when he was a candidate for president, that would be a total disaster. He called it this giant sucking sound of all the jobs in the industry out of America due to NAFTA. And he was absolutely right. But you weren't supposed to be aware of it. So now that's being corrected by the current president, and that will be, I'm sure, portrayed as some really terrible thing that that the current president is doing. And globalism is also praised as one world government structures, even if they're like supranational agencies, like they wanted to make with the Paris Climate Accord and things like that, to take away national sovereignty and step toward world government. And they praise those kind of things under the guise of saving the earth, working against to save you from climate change and global warming and all that. But it's a complete fraud, and it doesn't mean that the climate's not unstable, or it doesn't mean that there's no climate change, global warming, or anything like that. It just means that the fraud is using that to say that, well, then you should give up all your freedoms to save the world, because it's not going to save the world at all. In fact, the main element of the man-made climate change that is happening right now is the high-altitude spraying called geoengineering, or referred to when you're not trying to impress anybody as scientific as chemtrails. Personally, I don't care about the terminology. I think trying to impress the fake scientists with multi-syllable words that sound scientific is a ridiculous waste of time, because they're not looking for the truth. They're there taking the money to present the fake picture of what's going on. I don't think they're worth trying to convince of anything. It's the people behind them that they've sold out to that are the ones doing it, and they're not making a mistake. They're not unclear about the fact that geoengineering destroys the climate system of the world, and it also poisons the agricultural land, and it poisons the oceans and the fresh water and the air, and everybody breathes all this toxic metal and dried blood cells, which are in the mix too, and other biological weapons that have nothing to do with weather at all. They're not doing it by mistake. There's no point in trying to convince them scientifically that they're doing it wrong. They're not. They're doing it right. If the objective is to destroy life in the biosphere, they're doing a great job. So the issue is not to get enough scientists to sign a petition so that the rulers will say, oh, you know, your scientists are really right, we're going to stop geoengineering. They're not going to do that. As long as they want to destroy everybody, they're going to keep doing it. They would prefer that no one knows about it, but if you know about it, they don't mind continuing to do it as long as they can suppress anything that might get in their way, which is how the social media and other media come into play. So they want everybody to be panicked about global warming and about climate change. This falls right into what they want. They don't want you to be happy that it's not happening. They want you to be terrified that it is happening. Even if it is happening, that's not the point for them. The fear is the point. Because if you're afraid of it enough, then the theory is that you'll be willing to give up all your rights to do something about it. And that's what the Paris Climate Accord was about, transferring a whole bunch of money into the hands of some highly corrupt global rulers in the guise of stopping global warming. Completely ridiculous. And the current president made a lot of enemies in the global power structure by seeing through it. And he said, no, this is a terrible deal. We're not going to do it. We withdraw. Which was, I think most Americans don't realize how good that was. And I'm saying that as a devoted environmental protector since the early 1960s. But that was a fraud. And it was not to help anything with the climate or with the environment either. If they're going to be honest about environmental benefit, they need to come out and say that chemical toxic agriculture is unacceptable. This is something that the current president and most world leaders don't get at all. And you see, I'm not on the Democrat or Republican side. I just want whatever is good for all of us and what's true. And the current so-called agricultural system that you see developing in the U.S. and Europe and most of the world, being dumped on underdeveloped countries as well, is completely destructive, and it's intentionally destructive. The people in the system, the farmers and, you know, most of the ag extension agents and people like that, they're not trying to do anything bad. They're highly educated, and they think that's cutting edge science. You have to poison your food, otherwise the world starves. What? that's really ridiculous. I mean, that shows that there's no understanding of nature. You think that the bugs come in and the diseases come in and kill the crop because God made some kind of mistake when he designed it, and if it weren't for modern science, there would be no food. No, it's the opposite. Modern science is making it now with the current agricultural paradigm that the food that there is will be inedible, and most of it is now. It's just that if people knew it was inedible, there wouldn't be enough real food left to feed very many people at all. That needs to change. So the current president is not aware of that, as far as I know, in America. He needs to be. It's really important. The same thing with modern medicine. And by the way, in agriculture, it's not just the poison. It's the chemical fertilizer. Because if you do that instead of taking care of the soil, it imbalances the nutrition of the plant. And then the insects and disease come in to wipe out those inferior plants, because their job is to make sure that the sick plants don't reproduce all over the place. And then the chemical companies can say, see, look at all these insects and diseases. We have to spray your food with poison or everybody will starve. It's sophisticated and you need to see through it. So, same thing with toxic medicine, which the current president does not understand. You know, he's well motivated and he's doing things like trying to get drug prices down, give you access to experimental new drugs that are not on the market yet, stuff like that. It shows his motive is good, but he doesn't get that almost all of those drugs are what Dr. Labo on our show called enzyme poisons. They're very bad for you, and they cause other diseases, and they cause you to get worse, and they ruin your immune system. So then the doctor will say, well, you just need these other drugs to add on top of that. And like Dr. Cousins on our show explained very thoroughly, when you mix the drugs together, the toxicity becomes exponentially worse. And then you have the whole society falling for that, and then you see what they call normal old age. In the last few decades of your life, you're supposed to just totally disintegrate, and your brain can't work, and you don't know who you are, and you have all these diseases on top of each other, and go to a rest home and eventually go to hospice and get euthanized with overloads of drugs until you die. It's not a very good scenario, and it could totally be changed, because if you change the food system, and you change, you know, you don't process the food like we do anymore. You have it natural, as close to raw as possible, whole, and certainly nothing less than organic. Because conventionally grown food, as you see labeled that way in some of the natural food stores, you have to translate it, okay? When you see conventional, that means poisoned. Don't fall for words. It's not edible. And there's a time gap between when you eat it and when it causes its bad visible effects, so people don't notice. You need to see through that and take care of yourself, because the solution to all this stuff, since they want your health to break down and they want you to be living in fear and panic, not just about global warming, but about everything, and worried about who's going to kill you all the time, and you know, just complete breakdown, so you'll eventually beg for global tyranny. That's the idea. Take that as guidance and do the opposite. Take care of yourself. And I hope this president starts learning more. I think he will now, because real information is starting to get through to him. So if he can stay there, if he can keep from losing the House in this next election, he may be able to keep working on his agenda, and that could start including real health things, not drug health, and real food, not chemical agriculture. And he needs to understand that 5G is death for the whole world, the biosphere, not just humans. So the best way to start a wave of awakening that would even reach him and all the other people in important positions, and even reach, I think, some of the people doing evil consciously, is work on yourself. This sounds silly, and it sounds like it's not going to reach anybody. It's a hidden secret that there's so much latent power in you. It's like, we got to wrap this up because I've only got a couple minutes, but Einstein, I think it was, who said in one atom, if you release the energy there, it would be enough to basically recreate the whole universe. It's the hologram idea. And that's nothing compared to the energy and the potential that's locked up inside every single person, which means you. So this is exercise. It's not just about intellectual stuff. It's not of much use to just be able to recite the bad things that happened in the world this week or in general. We have to change them for the better. And you can go ahead and keep doing the outer stuff, petitions and protests and stuff like that. But what really gives it power is what you become. And most of us don't even remember what that means. Gandhi said it. Become the change you want to see in the world, right? But it's not just how you act on the surface. It's what you become inside. And if you learn about that, anything you do on the outside will start to have amazing results. So that's the bottom line, I think, the message of all of it. So we'll keep looking at these things that happen during the week as long as we're allowed to be on the air and you can be here with us. But if we disappear, check us out at lostartsradio.com. If you really want to get into the deeper aspects of this stuff where I can talk more freely and it's not public, that's on lostartsradio.com/club. You're invited if you want to. But that's involvement. That means starting to do some things in your own life because you're ready to start getting some incredible results. And I'm not going to say more about that, but check that out if you want. And otherwise, look at the Sunday night shows on Blog Talk there. You can find a link to them on lostartsradio.com. And all the archives going back years are free. Those are really interesting. And I'm trying to do a lot of free videos on the current platform, too. If those disappear, they'll still be on Real Video, real.video. Anyway, thanks for putting up with the no picture thing, if that's still going on. Hope you have a great week, and I'll see you here next time.